Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I do have a PowerPoint, but I will call for that a little bit later, but I'm going to get it ready. See if I can get this. Okay, anyhow, sorry about that. I got that ready. This morning, we are covering the covenant, and we are covering two paragraphs from the covenant. The basis of the scriptural basis for the first paragraph is what we're going to go through, and we're going to look at scripture, and then we'll look at our covenant statement. Our covenant is something that we sign every year as members here. It is something that we agree to covenant together on. It is as much between each other as it is between you and the leadership, and maybe more as a body to covenant together. So as we begin, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. And these, again, are the scriptural basis to our covenant. And we have not preached through the covenant in a number of years. Approximately 3 years. So this morning's topic is, with both paragraphs 11 and 12 from our covenant, you could kind of surmise. I was talking or texting back and forth with Chris Nisley last night on a title. How do you title something like this? So I guess generally it would be modesty in what we do and wear and view or watch or however you want to say. Just generally modest, being modest as far as specifically as we interact with the world around us. So we're going to talk about specifics this morning that you normally do not hear over the pulpit. So you can't come to me and say, you guys preach this all the time, because we haven't. Maybe it feels that way to you. I hope not, but we have not. But today we're taking purpose to explain the application of these scriptures and how we agree together to apply them to our lives. So again, beginning with the verses here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we, as a covenant body, we knowingly recognize that God is the author of both our physical and our spiritual bodies. We understand that we are more than just what we see. We confess that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. And once that happens through confession and repentance, we acknowledge that we are truly not our own anymore. We have been redeemed, purchased, if you will, by the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And once we grasp that fact, that the Holy Spirit resides in us and that we are clean, then and only then will the outside of us begin to look a little bit cleaner. And today, yes, we talk a little bit more about the outside of us, but we have to grasp that our insides are clean. You see, you can scrub the outside of a glass jar all you want to, but you still can't really tell if a glass jar is clean unless the inside's clean. And then you begin to see into the jar, and that's kind of how it is with you and me, except the Holy Spirit is kind of like the glass. Follow me on this a little. You just don't know, again, how dirty a jar is until you see into it. The Holy Spirit is the glass that allows you to see internally, and then you can recognize areas that need to be cleaned up on the outside. The Holy Spirit is not a bully that cleans house and grabs you by the ear and throws you in a shower. No, he doesn't do that. No, he comes softly, and he comes quietly, and he cleans the inside. And then most often, the Holy Spirit lets you clean the outside. And this is what we're talking about this morning, keeping our appearance clean on the outside And again, in order to be clean on the outside, the process must start on the inside. In reference this morning, you can turn to me to 1 Peter 3. Again, it refers to the inside and the outside a little bit. In 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 5. First Peter 3:3, it says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." And from these verses in 1 Peter, we see what is precious in the sight of God. And brothers and sisters, it is a gentle and a quiet spirit. This is on the inside, but it transfers to the exterior quickly. You could deduct from these verses alone that if one does adorn themselves with lavish things, they probably do not have a gentle and quiet spirit. At least I have observed. It would seem so to me. If one does adorn themselves in lavish things, they probably do not have a gentle and quiet spirit. And again, continuing in our verses, 1 Timothy 2, you may turn there. 1 Timothy 2. Verses 9 and 10 in 1 Timothy 2, it says, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And from these verses in 1 Timothy 2, we see a fashion that pleases God. Did you ever wonder what kind of clothes God likes? Would he prefer a dress or a blouse? Does God like pleats? Maybe buttons are really God's preference. What are we to clothe and adorn ourselves with that pleases God? Read it again. "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women confessing godliness with good works." You are to put on good works and wear it like clothing. Your good works are your fashion statement. Your good works is what God sees. We know from Psalms that God sees the day, the night, just like the day. And I imagine he sees us without clothes on. That's not a problem for God. He sees right through what we wear. He sees our heart. And he sees what you wear on your heart. And what pleases him is when you do good works. That's what God sees. And that's what he is pleased with. And so, from these verses in 1 Timothy and 1 Peter and 1 Corinthians, we have drawn this conclusion. And you may pull it up on the PowerPoint, see if that turns on for me. It says, this is our conclusion from those verses. "I believe that Christians are to maintain a non-conformed lifestyle that rejects the evil of the world. I will endeavor to keep my body clean and healthy, to find my joy in the pursuit of godliness, to wear simple, economical, and modest clothing, to seek the ageless beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit rather than submitting to the standards of beauty that the world dictates, such as jewelry and elaborate hairstyles." And now again, every year, we who as members here, we sign this document that we call our covenant. And this is paragraph 11. This document we sign again, year after year, reaffirming to each other that yes, we still believe this. And yes, I still will do this. I will pledge this to my brothers and sisters. And we also covenant to God as well. We annually pledge this to ourselves. Wouldn't it be grand if that's all that you had to say? Wouldn't it be grand if everyone would just know what you mean when you read that? And you know, for a number of years, that sort of worked here at New Covenant. But as my wife and I, a family that came from the outside, we came from more of a liberal background. And it was a little awkward for us. We had to learn what was expected of us here at New Covenant. There was a lot of unwritten things. And, you know, we could read and we could sign that covenant, but we really didn't know what it meant. How is it fleshed out? And now, some people, you know, would read it one way, and some people would read that another way, and kind of interpret that statement in different ways. And we're always going to have a little bit of that, but in order to help with our understanding, with this specific covenant, we added some clarity in June 2013. And we used to call these our shared values. But through the years, we've come to realize that these are not everyone's values. And so, but even though it's not all of our own values, we're still asked to comply. So what do we do? What do we call something that we're asking you to comply with, even though it may not be your value or your conviction? And so I kind of call them our shared applications. It's things that we willingly apply to our lives, even though they're not necessarily my specific value. And these are not verbatim directives from scriptures, and yet these are the ways in which we as members here all apply the scripture to our everyday lives. We willingly choose to share the application of scripture for the encouragement and benefit of everyone. Now, the enforcement, which is a terrible word to say from the pulpit, the enforcement of covenant by our Constitution falls on the Board of Ministry. And how would or should four guys have the task of further defining our shared application of scripture? That was difficult. And so we, in 2013, invited the Board of Ministry and the Board of Elders and all of our wives to discern further around clarifying our covenant. And the product of those meetings is this cream-colored paper that is stuck inside our covenant, that everyone, when you receive a copy of the covenant, you get this cream-colored paper. This document is viewed to answer some of the cultural questions of the day. This document can change. Our covenant does not change. There is no venue for our covenant to change. You cannot vote it. You cannot. It's there. There is no parameter and way in our Constitution or any documents that allows our covenant to change. It's not set up. But this document, how we apply it, is a little more fluid. This document can change. It's not set in stone. This is just how we define our application to Scripture for us here at New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship. And so, again, this is kind of our shared application, and this is what we have come to agree upon, again, the Board of Ministries, the Board of Elders, and all of our wives, through quite a bit of discussion. And so, again, to help us clarify what we mean when we read and sign this covenant, paragraph number 11, in that paper, under adornment, we list jewelry. And we understand that, again, quotation, the covenant, the standards of beauty that the world dictates, such as jewelry, includes all forms of jewelry except that of a plain wedding band, whether made of precious metals or other materials. And I distinctly remember in 2013 the discussion around this. Some bracelets and anklets were just starting to be made of rubber and silicone, and they weren't flashy. Well, what do you do with that? And some anklets were made out of rope and no precious stones. What do you do with that? Where do we draw a line? And after much discussion, we concluded that there is no easy line to draw, except that there would be no outward adornment except for a plain wedding band. And when we say plain, there's no stones, no rocks, there's nothing in, it's just a plain wedding band. What is the purpose of our covenant? Ultimately, to please God. And we recognize this, that He made us without any jewelry, and so we don't really need any for His sake at all. He doesn't really see our jewelry at all. He sees right through us. And I recognize the temptation in little girls and in big girls to try and beautify themselves. It is something in them, I believe, that God has placed to want to be beautiful. And it's difficult. And when you start down that path, it is very, very hard to call one back. Very difficult. And so, again, we've said here at New Covenant, we're defining Scripture as our adornment is limited to a plain wedding band, if you choose to wear one. Now, up the street, you know, they can't have drums. And down the street, you have to have a white veil of X number of inches. That's kind of funny. Well, this morning, I'm going over our funnies. We all have funnies. We do. We choose to lay aside our own preferences for the sake of the body here. We choose to agree on things that we don't always agree on. And yet we lay aside our own values and we share the application of Scripture. And so, continuing on, under makeup, we understand that makeup and nail polish shall be limited to promoting a natural, healthy appearance. Highlighting body parts with unnatural colors is seen as, from our covenant, submitting to the standards of beauty that the world dictates. Who knew in 2013 when we wrote that highlighting body parts would mean you don't make your hair pink, green, or purple? We didn't really fathom that when we wrote that, but here it is, and it does apply. Whatever color your hair is, naturally, that is what it should be. Now, please don't ask me if you can dye your gray hair. That's your call. The heart behind this is that your hair would look natural. We're not trying to draw a hard and fast line, but we want you to look natural. We don't want you to highlight an aspect of you that God did not. Along with looking natural hair, we would expect that your face and your nails would promote a natural, healthy appearance. If you need to apply a makeup, do so in a way that does not draw attention to yourself. If you need to polish up your nails, do so in a way that is natural and does not draw undue attention to yourself or your toes or your fingers. And I wrote this for what it's worth. I can't say this is scriptural, but it sounded good, so I'm going to say it. Highlighting fingers and toes and hair with extra color is a little like telling God you don't like what He did. Now, if you are visiting this morning with extra paint in places, no worries. We are fine with you and who you are, and I assure you that you are welcome here. My wife and I attended here for 2 years before we were both ready for her to wear a prayer veiling. And that is something I so appreciate about this place of worship. You are accepting of folks on different journeys. But as you visit and on your journey, you need to know who we are here at the core as members of NCMF. And what we believe, you need to know, so that you can make your own informed decision on where God is calling you. We as members and covenant signers lay down our own personal convictions for the betterment of the group and embrace a shared application of Scripture. Do I actually care about nail color? Not really. But what I do care about is those who sign this covenant and then do not comply. Men, this is our job. Our silence is acceptance in our homes. What I do care about is the growing trend away from following the authority of the church. Even that statement makes many of you cringe, and I know why. Because many men have abused this position and have wallowed in the power that it holds. This is not my intent. I know for a fact that this is not the intent of the rest of the Board of Ministry either. I hold this position with an open hand, for it is God who gives and God who takes away, and it is God who provides sermons time and time again. What I do care about is what happens when you do not have any rules. I have seen it. It is not pretty. Where I come from, there were no rules. In general, Mennonite conference. And then all of a sudden, women in leadership roles became a topic. Men in relationships with other men became a topic. Keeping the Sabbath was refused to be spoken of. Modesty would not be touched with a 10-foot pole, I was told. My wife and I then chose to come here for the sake of our children. We took off the diamond ring. We chose to wear skirts. Well, I didn't wear a skirt, but I had to be comfortable with my wife wearing a skirt. It had to be part of my choice to change our attire. It was different for me too. We chose to come here. A place that talked about rings and skirts and fingernail polish, so that the big questions were never a question at all, praise God. So it is upon this premise that I can and I will gladly talk to you about rings and makeup and nail color. From my perspective, those things truly are the door to the world. Let's together keep that door shut. Continuing on with the shared applications paper, we have this statement. Feminine and modesty. Modest clothing for the women is to be understood as a flowing feminine garment. The italicized words I added. You wouldn't think that you would need to say this, but I feel like I do. Skirts and dresses are the expected normal attire. Culottes and baggy shorts that reach the knee may be desired to provide more adequate modesty in certain situations. The shorts shall be loose enough that they would not look right just to be lengthened and be pants. In activities where slacks seem to be more appropriate choice, a long shirt or coat that more adequately covers shall also be worn. Covers implies your behind. More adequately covers you from the backside. Shall also be worn. Brothers and sisters, the heart behind the statement is modesty. Not what you can and cannot wear because of what I just said. We want you to be modest. If a skirt is not modest in your activities, then wear something that is modest. If you have to wear pants on your horse or your motorcycle, then wear something long that covers your backside. But we all understand that skirts and dresses are the normal everyday attire. Can we extend that grace without a hard line? I believe we can. We're attempting to. Help us to make it easy to do so. Which brings us to the next line on our shared applications paper. Honoring the church family. We believe that in order to honor the Lord and the church family, we need to be consistent in our application of biblical doctrines at all times. Now, I was there in the meeting, and I know what we meant when we wrote that. And this is what we meant. This line needs further explaining. The heart of this statement is not adequately represented in words written. What we mean by this statement is this. If God gives you the grace to go to the beach with your family, wonderful, we just don't want to see it on Facebook. Okay? If God gives you the ability to go to the cabin with the girlfriends and spend all weekend in your pajamas, great. Have a great time. Just don't post it on Instagram. We are to be consistent in our biblical applications at all times. But not so much so that you are restricted and feel pinned down by the church. That's not our intent. I hope you grasp that. Ask me if you have questions on this stuff. Ask any of us. Our heart is that this would be a freedom and yet allow us to apply Scripture together. So let's all honor one another in person and online. So again, let's look back at our read again. Covenant paragraph 11, I believe that Christians are to maintain a non-conformed lifestyle that rejects the evil of the world. I will endeavor to keep my body clean and healthy, to find my joy in the pursuit of godliness, to wear simple, economical, and modest clothing, to seek the ageless beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, rather than submitting to the standards of beauty that the world dictates, such as jewelry and elaborate hairstyles. Now, we covered a lot in our explanations of this paragraph, but there are some more to explore. Did you ever notice that our covenant talks about tattoos? I don't know if the founding fathers had that in mind when they drafted the covenant, but I see it. And it says, I will endeavor to keep my body clean and healthy. If you really are signing this as a statement of belief, an agreement. I just do not see any room for someone to get a tattoo. How could you define a tattoo on your body as clean or healthy? It can't be done. And again, I invite private discussion. Talk to me. Let's have that discussion. But I don't see a tattoo as complying with the covenant as written here in paragraph 11. And I am speaking to those who have, after signing this document, would then go and get a tattoo. That's who I'm speaking to. If you've come here and already have one, you are welcome. We welcome you with the same grace as Jesus Christ does. That's not what we're talking about. But please do not sign this covenant and say that you mean it and then do as you please. Our covenant is not a hoop for you to jump through. This is a sincere document that guides our lives as we communally apply Scripture in like-minded ways. Do you know how rare it is in today's church? When I say church, I'm talking nationwide, today's church. Do you know how rare it is that there are young men with young children, families in church? It's rare. Do you know how rare it is? We have three brothers from Oversight, from churches in West Virginia and Indiana and Iowa, and they comment almost every time, how do you get young families to come to church? These are brothers that we respect. These are brothers that we admire, that are leading Christian churches that are close and similar to ours, and yet they do not have young fathers bringing their young families to church. We, I believe, are an anomaly. I can't say it. Nationwide, we are anomaly. Now, I don't know how to say that all of a sudden. But anyhow, we're rare. Put it that way. And I have a theory on why that may be. you young men are choosing to raise your little girls and your little boys apart from the pull of fashion and exterior perfection that the world cries as normal. You know, I chose to attend here for doctrinal stability, but decided to stay here for the protection of my children. We do not feel the pull of the world, of all its fashion and folly. And I have the opportunity to observe very close hand the effect that fashion and sports play on families. I would venture to say that the amount of money we are able to give to missions, which again this year, somewhere between 38 and 42% of everything that's put in the baskets goes to mission from this place, week after week after week. And that is probably the amount of money you're saving, not dolling up your little girl and not buying the best and brand new backpacks and tennis shoes for your little boy. It's probably what we're saving when we separate ourselves from the world. Be careful where you step, moms and dads. There are traps that do not hurt at first, but soon you will realize that you are stuck. Fashion and sports are a trap, brothers and sisters. They are a trap that gets you stuck and you can't do anything about it. Be careful. I believe in generally we're doing well, but this is when we need to stay cautious and soft-hearted towards God and His ways, which leads us directly into paragraph 12 from our covenant. In paragraph 12, it says, I will carefully choose leisure activities that build a wholesome body, character, and thought life. I recognize the tremendous impact of television and other forms of mass media. I will allow the Holy Spirit to guide me in controlling their impact on my life. I will refrain from practices which would grieve the Spirit and hinder my witness for Christ. And this paragraph is all about your personal connection to the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? You are pledging a connection to the Holy Spirit. I will carefully choose leisure activities that build a wholesome body, character, and thought life. I will recognize the tremendous impact of television and other forms of mass media. I will allow the Holy Spirit to guide me in controlling their impact on my life. I will refrain from practices which would grieve the Spirit and hinder my witness for Christ. The covenant is not and should not just be a connection of one to another. This is first a covenant with God and then to our brothers and sisters. This covenant acknowledges that our relationship with God and the Father and His Son, Jesus, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the paramount aspect of our individual lives. We cannot covenant together if this fact is not first and foremost. And here in this paragraph, we are agreeing together to listen to the Holy Spirit individually. That's what it takes. It does not work if you're listening to me. This covenant does not work. It does not work if you're listening to Luke and Andrew, Dave Stone or Dave Meyer. It doesn't work. You get frustrated. You get bent out of shape. You see inconsistencies. Because we're human. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit. He is the one that guides us and leads us. It is the foundation. We are promising each other that what we do in our own private life, on our own private phones, in our computers, on our homes, on our computers at work, what we do will not grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about grieving me. You are committing that what you do on your phone and on your computer at work and on your computer at home, what you do does not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is what you're signing. Brothers and sisters, this is serious stuff. I will covenant with you. Will you covenant with me? And part of covenanting together is being willing and ready to forgive. And we covered that already, but it's good to be reminded. And part of covenanting together is being willing and ready to quickly extend the right hand of fellowship. And tonight is our communion service. And if you are not a signing member and you would like to attend, please contact Pastor Luke. His info is in the bulletin. And tonight, we as a signing body will commune together. We will extend the hands and feet of fellowship one to another. Brothers and sisters, if there is something undone between you and another, you can bring it to the altar this morning. If there is something undone between you and your sister, please take the time to make it right. Maybe even this afternoon. Does it take a phone call? Does it take a trip to the altar? Does it take a visit? Do what it takes to make it right. Extend the hand of fellowship to those who need it. And sometimes those who need it and want it the most can't get their own hand out of their pocket. And that's when they need a hug. Let us all help one another. This is how we covenant together. You may stand for the reading of the last scripture. You may find it first. It's Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1-10 is the basis for our covenant here, number 12. In Ephesians, yeah, you may stand when you find it. That's fine. After I read this, I'll close with a prayer. You may stay standing, and then the chorister will come and lead us in a closing song. Ephesians 2, powerful verses, talks about and admits what we once were, and then talks about what we are. And it's an important passage as we covenant together. So let's read Ephesians 2, 1-10. And he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, this spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, that it again can challenge us God, you have laid out a challenge for us today. A challenge to embrace and accept one another, a challenge to lay down our own understandings and applications of some scripture for the betterment of a body here at New Covenant. God, you have challenged some parents on fashion and sports. God, you have challenged some men on what they view. God, you have laid out some very difficult things. God, things that, wow, God, can we do this by ourselves? And we say, it takes your spirit, number one, God. And number two, it takes a community. And God, this community stands before you, I believe, in a desire to fulfill that, to covenant together this morning in a way that would build each other up, in a way that would promote your kingdom, God, in a way that we would be acceptingly different from the world. God, help us keep the door shut to the world. God, I thank you again for the way that your spirit moves and your spirit works and your spirit speaks. God, I can't say these things without your spirit being the vehicle and bringing the power and making your scripture alive. God, I confess it's not me this morning. It is you and who you are. God, I pray that as you have dealt with the hearts of the people this morning, that they would be soft towards you, that they would be open to your call, that they would be able to correct whatever they need to correct, whether it be at the altar or at their seat or with their brother or with their sister, that we may come together as a whole body and commune together this evening with open hearts, one to another and us individually towards you. God, we thank you for your power and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open in whatever way God is speaking to you. Chorister may lead us in a closing song.